Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you both?
I'm good. You may have noticed I sound slightly different this week. I'm in a different office. I'm a little bit echoey. I'm in a room with no doors because my new office is basically a building site. So sorry if I sound a bit weird.
How's the move gone? Are you enjoying it?
We were just saying amongst some people I work with, I was like, you said the first day and it feels like we've been here forever. You suddenly very quickly get into it, you know what I mean? Where are the toilets? Where are the kettles? All the important things.
Start finding where you're going to go for your lunch.
Exactly. Yeah, I did that today. Found a nice little marquee, had a falafel wrap. That was lovely.
Oh, nice.
Although probably I'm a bit garlicky right now, so I bear in mind. So luckily I'm not kissing anyone, so not too much of a problem.
Can't wait a bit of garlic.
No, definitely can't. How are you, Bob? All right?
Yeah, all good, thank you, babe. All good. Back in bed this week.
Yeah. We're back in the iconic bed.
We're both mixing it up a little bit. How's your week been, though? So busy with the move?
Yeah, busy with the work move. I had my friend's big birthday party on the weekend.
That was a messy one.
Pretty heavy. Got home about 5:30. So Sunday was a little bit of a washout. What else did I do? Well, I went to the new, it's called Hallyu exhibition at the V&A last week, which is why I think straight after the show I was going to that last week, which is all about South Korea and South Korean pop culture and music and Gangnam Style and all that kind of stuff. So it was really good. It was a nice event.
It's a huge thing, K-pop, isn't it? Like, I never realised the following behind it. Like, it's...
Yeah, this whole exhibition is basically all about that. And it talks about crazy things that I didn't know about how loads of, like, K-pop fans, managed to deluge Trump fans with like K-pop comments and stuff whenever Trump fans were like coming for people and things, and how just loads of like different things that I didn't ever realize about Korean fashion and films and music, all sorts. It's really, really interesting. I definitely encourage anyone to go who's interested.
Food like? Was there lots of nibbles?
It was quite fancy. It was lots of champagne and then lots of lovely, like Korean inspired. I wouldn't say they were like, it was actually properly Korean food. It was more like Korean inspired. I left the V&A a bit wobbly on my feet and
well fed and full of bubbles.
Yeah, belly full. So it was all good. What have you been up to? Anything exciting?
What have I been up to this week? But busy one. I've had a few meetings this week. Because we're filming this on a different day. So that's kind of throwing me. We used to do Tuesdays, and then we recently, a couple of months ago, moved to Wednesdays. Yeah. But today we're now, this week, doing it on the Tuesday again. So a couple of meetings. Just you know when you have one of them weeks that just comes up, but I like
everything all at once.
But just one of them where you're kind of here, there and everywhere and kind of just working out schedule-wise and fitting everything in. But we don't complain.
It's never complain.
Never complain. Like I say, I drive a bit busy now. It's just very, very much reliant on when you get from one side of town to the other, it's always kind of you're at the mercy of tubes and trains and things. But touch wood, thankfully, I was been really lucky.
Good. Glad to hear
it. No strikes this week, which is good. No.
Well, it could happen any moment, so don't hold your breath.
Don't jinx yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's been an exciting week of showbiz news, certainly for me, I will say, because the first of like the big Eurovision announcements to come. We are now down to two possible cities where it might be held. There were, I think, seven. It's now down to two, Liverpool and Glasgow, to host Eurovision 2023.
Both great.
They're both brilliant party cities, aren't they?
Yeah. I really like both Glasgow and Liverpool. So I think wherever it is from them too, it's going to be amazing. I remember when we spoke about this before, your hunch from day one was always Glasgow though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think they'll be keen to put it on in Scotland. I think Scottish people are really up for it. I think what would be even better is if we had a Scottish entry as well. because
does that never really happen then?
It hasn't happened very often. I know, well, Lulu, obviously, who won in sort of the 60s, which was quite a long time ago now, she's obviously Scottish. But no, there's actually not a huge amount that I can think of off the top of my head. Obviously, going head-to-head with Liverpool, you've got the incredible Sonia, who represented the UK in the early 90s. So, you know, it's a bit of like a battle of the bombshells. We've got Lulu versus Sonia, Glasgow versus Liverpool. Yeah, it does mean there's quite a few have been knocked out. So it was Newcastle, Sheffield, Leeds, Manchester, Birmingham.
And how does it get whittled down, babe? Is it down to like a bold voting?
Kind of, I think. So it's not like entirely transparent, but basically between the BBC and the European body that runs Eurovision, kind of owns the rights to Eurovision, all the cities put together little packages, like plans, you know, like how they do with like the Olympics and things like that. So they sort of bid for
like
it.
In their city kind of
exactly,
thing.
Exactly, yeah. So obviously the powers that be decided that they were all great, but of the two, Liverpool and Glasgow were sort of the ones to beat. And they said we should have a decision within the next couple of weeks. So what I will say is, obviously, as a big Eurovision fan, my phone's already been blown up. People have been like, where are we staying? Do we know anyone in Glasgow and Liverpool? So whose lounge floors can we sleep on? Because everyone...
The thing is, I bet the day it's announced, people are so going to be sat waiting by their computers. I reckon within minutes, every hotel and Airbnb is just... Well, A, they'll probably up the prices. Because a lot of these hotels, I've even noticed that, like, you know, if there's a concert in certain venues,
yeah,
there's hotels next door or just around the corner, the minute it's advertised that someone's playing there, mysteriously the room goes up that night, which I kind of get, supply and demand.
Yeah, of course.
I guess that these people are gonna be whacking up the rates.
Yes, I can see that.
And it's gonna be, I mean, let's have it right, whichever city gets it, it's gonna be good for tourism, like a lot of money to be made, I'm sure. Well, people will be coming from all over.
Yeah, people come from all over, and not just that, but also the delegations, you know, the TV channels, all the execs, all the people that work at the BBC.
Cool.
The artists, the backing dancers, the musicians. Yeah, there's loads and loads of people that need to be considered.
Everybody wants a night out after. The clubs, I mean, and the bars are going to
be an right.
Amazing atmosphere, isn't it?
It's amazing.
I feel like this might have to be the first one. I mean, and now iconic, the first one I truly watched from beginning to the end to be here.
Yeah, 100%.
I never thought really it would happen, if I'm honest.
No. Well, I mean, obviously we didn't win. So there is like that element that this is, and they're quite clear that this is the UK hosting on behalf of Ukraine. So there is going to be big, big Ukrainian elements to it. But regardless, I mean, you know, it's still going to be here, and we came second, so no reason not to celebrate that as well. Sam Ryder was like an excellent ambassador for us, I think, in the UK in the music industry. Great singer from Essex, from around your parts. So it's all things to play for now. I'm dead excited. I mean, I know it's May. And we are we're not even got out of September yet, so we've got a little while to go.
But saying a lot of shops I've been in over the last few days, I'd say even the last week, I've seen Christmas decorations, I've seen Halloween. Actually, I saw Christmas decorations before I saw Halloween. Now, I don't know how that makes sense. I am seeing more Halloween stuff now, but there was baubles and tinsel before there was masks and pumpkins.
Don't you think it's funny how I feel like I remember when I grew up, you might get the odd sort of horror mask from Woolworths, and you might get a pumpkin in the supermarkets, you know, the odd costume. Now you can get, you know, you could redecorate your whole house in a Halloween theme if you wanted.
It's almost like it's being decorated almost like you would traditionally do for Christmas.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff's like really expensive.
It's
like,
not cheap shit.
Almost like ornaments. Some of the stuff I've seen are like $79.99, which I'm guessing people keep and use all year round. But
it's
very much become a thing. Well, like you say, when I was little, I remember exactly that wall was probably about 89p for a really...
With a really frizzly hair.
Yeah. And then, like, the most kind of out there thing were, like, you'd get the right plastic witch nails, like the plastic fingers. That was probably about 99p. It was nothing like it is now. Yeah, it's crazy, really. The things I've seen, actually, I nearly jumped out my skin. One of the aisles I walked down, I think I was in Wilkinson's, and I was just walking around one of the aisles. You know me, I like a bit of home furnishings now. It's like walking down this Halloween aisle. One of the things, when I say I nearly shit myself, I can't remember what this thing said to me, but it must have been on a sensor. And there was no one else down the aisle. And you know, where you almost make a little, like, you jump out your skin. I thought, I'm so glad there was no one here, because I would have pissed myself. If I'd have seen me scared by this thing.
I've done that before,
like,
just...
cage. This thing was fucking shaking a cage and screaming at me in an hour. I thought, oh no.
It's like you're in one of those, like Noel's house party, or like what they used to call it on the MTV, like was it Jack or something?
Jackass,
or yeah, something like that. I remember once I've been made to jump before, literally by a mannequin. So, you know, it's not like out of the realms of possibility. I would probably actually scream if something started.
So it's literally shaking plastic cages in, and literally was screaming at me, this thing, right? And it was quite a loud thing. But this time of year, I mean, I think it's quite well known out there, because I've done a couple of shows which have kind of terrorised me, but I already had a fear, almost phobia about it before. I have this real phobia of clowns.
Right.
And that kind of time of year, we start seeing a lot of clown face masks. Like, a normal clown to me shits me up. We're talking even what should be like a friendly, just a friendly party clown.
Yeah.
So when they're like dead clowns, or clowns with fangs and things like that, it's a worrying time of year.
Fair. So you won't be attending the Thorpe Park Fright Night in a few weeks then, or whenever that is.
Well, I have been invited. There's a PR party this week, actually. I think it's Thursday, so the night this goes out. So I might go, but it's the live attraction things. I remember going to one before. I can't remember. I think it was like one of them big walkabout things you do. It wasn't Thorpe Park, where there's live actors in there.
I've done it. I couldn't, never again.
Stand back.
my friend always said to me, just remember that they don't want to be there either. So I was like, okay, try and remember that. Because I'm not, and also, like, they can't actually hurt you. If they actually hurt you, then they've done their job wrong. So, but yeah, I'm the same as you. Nothing. I don't like anything that makes me jump. So,
yeah, I don't like being on edge.
Yeah,
it ain't no good for the nerves.
No, definitely not. And I can be a bit of a nervy Nelly. So, are you kind of a like pumpkin spice kind of into the autumn vibes sort of guy?
Do you know what? Not really a pumpkin spice as much. Like, in the coffee shop, the Mermaid coffee shop, should we say? You know, everyone goes mad for that syrup. I like a toffee nut latte. But that don't normally come out till Christmas. Very nice. Believe it or not, I'm not the biggest pumpkin soup. I've never cooked a pumpkin.
Yeah, fine. They're actually very easy to cook. I'll say.
And I guess it's like a butternut squash, though. I bet it's quite nice. But you know what it is? It's one of them things. I remember carving one out years ago. There's so many seeds in that. Like, it's going to take longer to carve it and probably cut it up than it is to cook it and eat it.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
But it's becoming soup season, and I do love a soup, so maybe I should try it. But I'm a P&M boy.
I think we should start a cookery podcast, Bob, because I could talk about food all day.
Let's do it.
As you can tell by my increasing cheek size recently, I've definitely been overindulging this summer, and I think it's starting to show. We have an exciting show coming up today. We have got from Towie, Jordan Brooke up first. And then we have Matt Edmondson, who's basically been involved with and done every sort of popular show that's been on ITV and now Discovery Plus over the years. He's on to talk about new show Beauty and the Geek, which is actually if I remember rightly, an old show that's come back.
I thought that. You know, when you kind of see something, you get a deja vu.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't sure if it was an American show I'd seen or if it was over here originally.
I'm pretty sure it was. Anyway, we can find all the details.
We'll find all that out.
From him, yeah. And then you spoke to Maver and James from Made in Chelsea a little while back, didn't you, which we're going to play out at the end.
Yeah, it's got a lovely little pre-record there, so I think it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, great show. Well, let's get our first guest, Jordan, in to talk all things. Anyways, X.
You're good?
All right, Jules. How are you doing, Bob?
You okay?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
Thanks for joining us.
That's all right. How are you? All good, yeah?
All good, all good. What you been up to?
Oh, mate, non-stop, to be fair. I've been grafting today. Finished early today. But snipping away, mate, making everyone look silky smooth, as you do.
Yeah. That's what you used to do, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, back in the day, yeah. Was you an hairdresser, Bob? Yeah, and then I became a teacher. Like, I was an assessor, so I would do, like, people's NVQs.
Yeah, I looked at doing the assessing side of things, but there's quite a lot of paperwork to that, and then you have to go and do loads of qualifications.
Yeah, you have to do like your level three, and then you do another qualification on top of it. But back in the day, I used to have my scissors.
That's mad. I've known you so many years, I didn't even know that. That's mad.
I mean, I could do with a little trim, actually, Bob, so if you want to come back and do it, that'd be fine.
Well, I'll tell you, it's battle of the hairdressers now, you've got to pick one.
Well, I'm going to need some example pictures, that's what I want to see, so I can start a bribery. How's it going? How's it been back on TOWIE?
Yeah, do you know what? It's been good, to be fair. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. Very different this time around to last time. Obviously, I was
how
on
come?
There with Bob.
How come?
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, obviously, I was on there with Bob last time, you know, it's like 5 years ago now, you know?
Scary how quick time goes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad. But obviously, I think you'll be able to tell as well how much I've changed from then. I was such a kid back then, you know. I felt I was probably a bit too young coming into the show, if I'm honest. I was 21, 22. I didn't really know where I was, what was going on, you know, with where I was in work. I was still living at home. I'd left the salon I was working in, trying to get my own business off the floor. So I did all that going, and then the show came along and it was great, but I struggled, but I'm definitely more confident now, which helps, you know. Back then I maybe lacked that little bit of confidence to proper push myself and excel, I suppose.
Yeah. To be fair though, 21, it is young to be thrown into a reality TV show. Like, it's a mad thing, really. So that completely matched. So you're what, nearly, I guess, 26 now, 25?
27, yeah.
Yeah, so you're getting there, son.
Yeah, getting on, I know. Tell me about it.
You're catching me up.
But no, yeah, I think this time, the timing was right, you know, and everything sort of aligned and it worked well with now working for myself. Obviously, I can take the time out to film and I can work around myself. Everything slotted in right. Obviously, I'm single. So that helped being able to go and do it. Obviously, there's a few single girls on the show. Everything seemed to align. And it was, I think I've slipped right back in. Bear in mind, obviously, I stayed in touch with everyone, including Bobby, obviously, Lockie, Dan Diags. I always stayed in touch with everyone, you know, for so many years and been great friends. Like, Gatme and Gatsby have always spoke. And it was just sort of organic. I just slipped straight back in with my pals, really.
So how's the drama been this time round? Because it seems like drama started pretty much the minute you all went to Dominican, didn't it?
Yeah. Well,
I think it started before, didn't it?
Yeah. It started in Dominican straight away. It was funny because you sort of all go to Dominican, everyone's getting on really, really well. You know what the way trips are like,
about
Bob.
2 days.
Yeah. Two days, everyone's having a blinding time. I think this is brilliant. And then bang, something happens. That's it. Gloves are off. Let's go. The series has started, you know?
Does it feel different to you this time around, just in terms of, you know, different people and all that sort of thing? Or do you feel like, you know, it seems recognisable from when you did it last time?
I think, obviously, a few things are different for me this time around. But like, one of the major differences is the whole series being filmed before it aired. That was a massive difference. They changed a few little ways of that. When I was... there last time, we was filming a lot more days and it was, so slight changes like that. But other than that, it's very similar concept, obviously. a lot of the crew were still the same, so it was nice to see all them again as well. You know, I get always get on with them really, really well. So yeah, it was. It's, nothing was too dissimilar to last time, apart from the fact I sort of have ended up it probably in a little bit of drama here and there. Not really, but a little bit more involved, I suppose, this time around.
So, Joel, we've got to ask, obviously it's been well documented, we've touched upon the Dominican, this flight home.
Yeah. I know. Now,
set the record straight with this, because there's so many rumours going around, aren't there?
Yeah, listen, there is loads of rumours going around, and as I always say, don't believe everything you read in the papers, you know. There was there's a lot of rubbish being written down there, and but I can't really talk about it. You know, it's one of them things. It's been and gone. It was brushed upon. Obviously, the press made things a lot worse than they were, and it's one of them things.
Do you find that side of it hard? Because I mean, I guess it doesn't happen every week, but sort of like when you're not in control of the narrative, and whereas if you're filming, you know, you can sort of. You know what's being said, but if something's been taken away, I don't know. Is that hard?
In what way? In what way?
Well, like, you don't know how something's going to be perceived from other people and stuff. Like, and once you're in the show, anyone can say anything they want, can't they?
Sometimes I think I always stay pretty true to myself. You know, I will say how I feel. I will say my opinion, and I think you can't overthink how you think something's going to be perceived by somebody else. You can never please everyone. Ever, no matter what you're trying to do. I've tried to do it my entire life, and it's, you can't. And it's, I've struggled with that sort of in the past, and you think, I never let people down. I'm a very reliable person, but when it's sort of, I try and keep every single person happy that there is, it's, you can't do it. So you are always going to upset someone, and not intentionally, but someone's not always going to agree with what you have to say. And if you do, I think if you do sit there and you do overthink what people are going to think of you, you can drive yourself insane, I think. And you never say anything. So you have to say how you feel, and that's that. People can't, no one can, I don't think anyone can ever go at you if you're saying how you feel. If that's how you feel, it's how you feel. And the people who matter to you will back you up.
Round, in terms of it changing slightly into the whole series being filmed in advance, and as it's airing, the show's already at wrap. So, watching that back, does that change how you feel now? Because normally, back in the day, we'd be reacting to it.
Yeah.
Quite quickly, and going back into work after seeing an episode, and then that would then start more beef. Has that changed?
Yeah, it's different. It obviously is different, because you're now seeing things people have said about you for the first time, which was a couple of months ago, you know? So,
and I would hate that, because you'd be like, you'd be nice to me all this time.
Yeah. and you might have cleared the air with someone, and you're now quite pally. And you think, I didn't know you said that about me. Do you know what I mean? And then you think, you feel a bit mugged off. But it's, I'd say I'm quite fortunate. I've been quite lucky. I get on with most people, you know. I'm not, I don't fall out with people. You know that, Bob.
Yeah.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, fair.
And obviously, first time round on the show, you dated Chloe Brockett.
I dated Ella. I dated Ella.
Did you not date Brockett, or was?
We wasn't seriously dating. No, we went out in a group.
What are we calling it?
Well, we went out on a night out in a group. There was other people there as well, you know. It was never dating Mitch, like me and her.
Not an exclusive thing, just a good time.
Yeah, went out, had a good time, and that was that. It was sort of cut short.
And has any flame been re-sparked there, or is that...
With Brockett,
yeah.
No flames re-sparked there, nah.
No.
But you are single at the moment.
Yeah, I'm single, yeah.
So are you looking?
Listen, never say never, you know. Always looking.
Oh my God, Bob, the amount of times when we have people on from TOWIE and they say never, I'm like, you're a PR person that does TOWIE. Even Bob still says it to this day. Like, Bob, you're not fooling me. No, but have you got your eye on anyone?
On anyone? Listen, there's quite a bit. There's still quite a bit to come up in this series. I don't want to spill too much, but there's obviously the start of the series, I dated Ella. Then that didn't quite work out, and there's a few there's a few little sparks flying there towards the end of the series, you'll see.
Well, with you and Ella.
Yeah, maybe.
Never say never.
No, never. I'm waiting for
never
it.
Never say never.
What have you obviously, you sort of had your time in between doing the shows. What were you up to in that time? Like, sort of just getting your business off the ground?
So in between, obviously, last time when I was on the show last time with my stepbrother, Jack. When we come off the show, I just focused on my job, focused on my own salon, my barbering. So built my clientele, carried on building, and decided to branch out. I've always cut hair. I've done it for ever since I can remember, since I was 16 years old. And I decided to branch out and I started developing my own hair products as well. So I've now got my own grooming range out called Mr. J, which is like we've got styling paste out at the minute. We're going to start developing the sprays, the shampoos, conditioners. So that's the up and coming thing I'm trying to put a lot of my effort into at the minute. And I want a men's grooming range. That's the route I'm going down at the minute. And yeah, I've been singing a little bit here and there with my family. My dad's obviously a singer, so knocking out a few tunes here and there, but focusing on the hair mainly.
But you truly love the singing, didn't you?
Yeah. Listen, I love being on stage. I can't lie. I think watching my dad on stage for so many years throughout my whole childhood, and then obviously getting to that little bit older where I could get up and do it with him. He'd always get me up to sing wherever we was, sing at all family parties. Whether it's up singing, whether it's up talking, I just love that feeling of being up there on the microphone. And there's a really good ep coming up this series, which is all to do with, obviously, but my mum's not been well, is she? Which is obviously we'll see this in this Sunday's episode. And we host a big, there's a big like charity fundraiser coming up, which are really, that's, I just loved it. Do you know what I mean? I love that, like bringing that thing of bringing everyone together, I think it is, you know, and everyone having a good time. So
is something you could see yourself, and I know obviously you do a lot of it away from the show. Is it something you would like to pursue career wise? Is it something you would take further?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know whether it be down the route of singing full time or sort of hosting, or I don't really know. I'm open to ideas, you know. I just love that feeling, but I love it. That's where I feel I come into my own, you know, when I'm sort of up there, thrive off it. Rather than getting nervous and it making me sort of go introverted, it does the opposite. It brings out the best in me, I think.
Would you ever do any of the big sort of singing talent shows or anything like that? Would you consider doing?
Well, I just done The Voice.
Did you?
Did you?
Yeah. How did it go? Yeah, well, not great, if I'm honest. It was such a good experience.
I know a couple of people that have done The Voice actually and didn't necessarily get through and have managed to do very well.
Yeah, so I didn't get any turns. It aired on Saturday night, just gone. I didn't get any turns, but it was a really good experience. It was thrown in the deep end, if I'm honest. It was nerve-wracking, you know. That was the first time I stood there and I thought, wow, this is sort of big. And I learned so much, yeah, but I loved it, you know. And I was gutted, obviously, that I didn't get a turn and couldn't go further in the competition. But it just gives you that drive to go and do it again and do more, you know what I mean? Keep going, never give up.
Never give up, babe. Never give up.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with the hair range and the singing and the show and everything, all the exciting things you've got coming up.
Thank you.
Take care,
Bob, see you soon. Nice to see you.
See you soon. Bye, Joe.
See you later.
Bye.
See ya.
I mean, that's a lot of stuff he's got going on, isn't it? Fair amount. Yeah, busy boy. Well, speaking of busy boys, straight into our next guest, who is basically like I said, behind every TV show you like, or working in front of it, or on the radio. Matt Edmonton is here, so let's get him in for a little chat.
Let's do it.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt. You're right, mate.
Hey, Bobby. Nice to see you. Hi, Stephen.
You too. It's been a while.
It has been a while. How are you doing?
Really good, thank you. Where were you in a voiceover booth?
No, I'm in my house. I'm in my office, which is just painted very dark.
I love that. You've got the professional little setup there.
Though. Yeah, that nice. Is.
I have to record bits for the radio sometimes from home, so I've got a mic.
Well, I was just explaining a bit like before we introduced you, and basically you're kind of either behind the camera or on the radio or working on the TV on basically a million shows that people will know and love, right? Like and now obviously you've got Beauty and the Geek. We were just saying that's a show that's been on before, right?
Yeah, so like 20 years ago, they did a version, started in the States, I think, and then they did a British version, which was on T4 back in the day. Before I was a T4 presenter, when I was a kid watching T4, it was on. it's quite a different beast now, the show that we've done. It's sort of, the titles remained, but everything else is quite different. Only it's in a really different place. This one's incredibly kind of warm and celebratory.
So when you got the call, bearing in mind you remember it first time round, was it something that you was like, absolutely, I've got to do this?
Yeah, so we heard rumblings that they might be remaking it. And I sort of begged anyone that would listen to say, please let me and Moll do that show, because I think we'd be so right for it. Because obviously Moll and I have worked together on lots of things, but we haven't yet found the sort of perfect TV vehicle, and a few things have kind of come along that we've not been sure about, and then this was in the ether, and we thought, oh yeah, that's going to be the one. And so just delighted. I actually found out the news on the day that my second kid was born. So we got back from the hospital and I got a phone call from my agent, who knew I just had a baby, by the way. They couldn't wait.
And wanted that 20%.
Exactly. He called and said, oh, you're doing Beauty and the Geek. And I couldn't really process the news, you know, because we were sort of in the throes of the birth. But then it sank in and I was very happy about it. And I think in terms of a show that we could have done, obviously I'm very beautiful, Molly's a bit geeky, it works out perfectly.
Look at that for the perfect lineup. What is the secret, do you think, between you and Molly? Because like you said, you've worked on lots of different things together.
I think the secret is that we're genuinely best friends and, you know, we get on incredibly well. We speak every day and we never run out of things to talk about. It's quite weird, I think, for me, because I met her after I was 30. And I think, you know, when you get to that point in your life, you're like, I've got all my friends. Yeah. I don't want to leave the house again or do anything. And I really didn't. And then Moll kind of came into my life, and I guess I had some prejudice about her. I was like, oh, I know she was in the band. I don't really know much about her. But she kind of blew me away with her personality, and we've got such a similar sense of humour. And actually, we're incredibly similar as human beings, although I'm sure she'd disagree. And and so it just for whatever reason, really worked. But the underlying thing is that we build each other up, we respect each other hugely, and we just endlessly make each other laugh. And hopefully that comes across in the show, because that is... I forgot, genuinely, there's bits in the first couple of episodes, which are on Discovery Plus, that I watched and were like, oh, I didn't realise the cameras were on then. But they've obviously just sort of caught a chatty. I thought that was like a private conversation that I was having with Moll, and they've included them in the show.
Of course.
That must be the beauty of working and hosting alongside a best friend, the fact that it's so natural that whether you know that you're on camera or just having what you'd say a private conversation, it's you can't buy that chemistry, can you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've worked with loads of different presenters over the years and always gotten on with people. And you do always find like your groove, you find your way of working with them. But there is like a telepathy with Moll that means that we don't really have to talk about stuff, and there's also a real safety in us doing something together, because there's no real thing as a mistake. You know, if something goes wrong, the other one is there to either kind of like catch the other one or to rinse the other one, and both outcomes are quite good, really.
So with Beauty and the Geek, I think it's probably fair to say that if people looking at it like straight up, that they might think this is a bit of a retro kind of show, but you say it's changed. How is that the case?
Well, yeah. So the cast is 8 beauties and 8 geeks, and they're sort of self-proclaimed beauties and geeks. And the whole idea of the show is that we're sort of deconstructing those stereotypes and showing them a different version of themselves, and also sort of letting them bring the best of themselves to each other. So at its heart, it's a really warm, transformative show. I think the kind of the closest thing to it is Queer Eye. You know, when you sort of fall in love with the I don't know how, well, I think they're
process,
heroes, don't like, they? Yeah, they call them one of the heroes of each episode. And you really are on their side as they make that transformation. Mm-hmm. And this is a really similar energy for the show. It's really funny. There are the sorts of people that you would never normally see on TV, but we are not taking the mickey out of them. We are celebrating them, and we are sort of finding the joy in their differences and in their similarities. And so, yeah, I think tonally it's really different from like a snarky kind of reality show, or, you know, like a dating show or anything like that. And strictly speaking, it's not meant to be a dating show. It's meant to be a show about, you know, people in forming friendships and bringing the best out of each other. It just so helps they couldn't stop themselves. And there is the romance in the show, which was a real surprise to us.
Do you know what I love about it, man? Why I think it's such a special format is that we live, especially now more than ever, with social media the way it is, and everyone so worried and conscious about how they look, comparing themselves to each other, bodies and all that kind of thing, that it goes deeper than that. Do you know what I mean? And where people think it's all about the aesthetic of someone, I love that there's a show such as yours where people are like, actually, it doesn't matter about likes on Instagram and whether you've got this, that or the other, that it truly is irrelevant, isn't it? It's about the person and the soul.
Yeah, and we're sort of celebrating each of the individuals. And let, you know, for the beauties, I think a lot of them get judged as, or they get written off as just being, in inverted commas, a pretty face. And actually,
yeah, I guess it goes either way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess both as it's, yeah.
Yeah, and some of our beauties have got really interesting backstories. We've got people who've got law degrees, we've got people that are mechanics, engineers, but they maybe, you know, that's not the first impression that you get from them. And then the same with our geeks, we've got cosplayers, so, you know, guys who dress up as Spider-Man or Batman. We've got the UK's leading authority on Lego, he's like the biggest Lego influencer.
I'm quite into that, actually.
We've got a guy who's into model aircraft, but he turned it into a really, really successful business. He's sort of a high flyer in every sense of the word. And so there's lots of hidden stories amongst in terms of the depth of their personality that you wouldn't necessarily get if you were judging a book by its cover. And I guess that's kind of what the whole show's about. It's about not judging these people, and also them not judging themselves, and maybe discovering that there's more to life outside of both of their comfort zones.
So was you and Molly surprised as the show went on as well? Because obviously you both knew what the format was going to be, and you sign up and you start filming. But was you even kind of shocked when you get to know people on that level?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what to expect, really. We'd seen the casting tapes and we'd been given like little printouts of who they were and what they did. But on that first day, and actually you'll see it in episode one, we sort of meet in this amazing bit of Greenwich in a very sort of royal-looking building. And I was with all the geeks, and Moll was with all the girls, and I went over, and by their very nature, they were quite shy initially. And you know what it's like in a bunch of strange people. They've never been on TV before. It's kind of weird. So I wanted to go over and just sort of make sure everyone felt comfortable. And I got really close with all of the cast, but the geeks especially. I am a geek at heart, and there's loads of stuff that they're into that I was genuinely fascinated by. Like one of our guys, Nikish, he traveled the world playing Pokemon, and I love board games. I run a board games company as like a side thing that I do, and I was like, oh, I've never played Pokemon before. Tell me how it works. And I sort of cornered him and talked to him for 2 hours about it. So I really got to know them, and actually seeing their journey was genuinely emotional. I've normally got a heart of stone, but at the end of the series, they have to sort of explain what the process has meant to them and how they feel they've changed. And they have to do these speeches. And I went into it thinking, it's going to be a bit cheesy. And I left in floods of tears because to actually hear how changed they were by the TV show was amazing. And actually seeing them afterwards, we shot the show in the summer, so there's been quite a few months since. Seeing them afterwards, they've really retained all the stuff that they picked up and learned on the show. And I know it's cheesy to say it's kind of life-changing, but it has been life-changing for them.
Oh, God, yeah, I'd be in tears.
Bless them. I'd expect that, Bob.
when something's that sweet, you know, where you just cry, honestly, I'd be an emotional wreck. I wanted to ask you, mate, obviously Molly's recently announced she's pregnant. Have you been giving her any parent tips? And if so, what?
Yeah, so she was pregnant during filming of Beauty and the Geek. I didn't know. And there were lots of clues. I should have worked it out.
No champagne after the end of the thing.
Well, she was eating very particularly. But I'm a very unobservant person.
What was she eating?
Ice cubes.
No, she was just steering. Because you know what it's like when you're filming something. You never really know when you're going to be needed. And so I'd order like a chicken katsu curry. And she wouldn't do it. And she kept saying, oh, I don't want the chicken. If the chicken sat out for a bit, I don't want to do it. She's obviously worried about getting food poisoning, which I wasn't worried about. So she was just eating. She was just eating really, really well, but really, really boringly. She kept napping. And I just thought, fair enough. It's exhausting making this show. She wants to have a little nap. But yeah, turns out she was pregnant. So in terms of advice, it's weird, I think, at the phase where you're pregnant, you don't really then think about, I've got to look after a baby afterwards. It's kind of all about the birth.
Birth, yeah.
You just think about that. And I don't know what use I can be on that front.
Keep breathing, keep pushing.
Exactly. Beyond that, though, I've given her a couple of parenting tips. My number one tip, by the way, if you are a parent, is if I've got a six-year-old and I've got a, God, I don't even know how old she is, 9 months, 10 months. She was born in January. You work it out.
Nine months.
I got a nine-month-old. And with the older one, which is a bit funny with food, and what would happen is we'd get her to eat something, say broccoli. She'd eat the broccoli and we'd go, do you like that? And she'd say, yeah, yeah. And we've had an hour, you know, negotiating of the broccoli. And then the next day you'll try and feed her broccoli again. And the same thing happens. You go through the same negotiation. So my tip is I now record a message of her testifying how much she likes the food while she's eating.
It's niche.
And then I save it in my notes, save the video, and I label it like broccoli or, you know, peas or whatever. And then if she ever has that food and says, I don't like this, I can say, hold up, there's someone I need you to hear from. And then I search it and she sees a video of her and I get her to talk to her. I said, hi Ivy, it's you. I've just eaten broccoli and I loved it. So eat your broccoli. And then she'll eat it.
It's
the best pack. It worked. Of course it worked. Because
you should bring back Super Nanny. You should bring back Super Nanny as the Super Nanny. This is incredible information.
She believes herself.
I'm obsessed with that.
That's a great tip.
That was not what I was expecting you to say, I'll be honest. But, I'm impressed with it nonetheless.
My one and only parenting hack.
Well, Matt, thanks so much for speaking to us this evening. Really appreciate it. And
no worries.
Best of luck with Beauty and the Geek and with Make Me a Prime Minister, which I believe starts tonight, doesn't it?
It's on tonight, 9:15 on Channel 4, straight after Bake Off. If you've not enjoyed this interview with me, well, you're in luck because I'm not on the show.
Yes.
So you can enjoy
it. You're behind
it
the camera.
Exactly. Yeah. It's an idea of mine that's sort of run away. And yeah, we've got Alistair Campbell and Saeed Avasi trying to find Britain's alternative prime minister. And
we might need a new one soon.
I was going to say, I feel like the timing could not be better. So we'll see how that goes.
Very true. Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Catch up with you.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate you taking the time to catch up. See you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye. See you soon. Bye-bye.
That's such a good point, though, with the Prime Minister. I really don't think she's going to last long by the looks of things. She's looking pretty bad, pretty ropey.
I mean, I've got my phone on loud and vibrate. So
We'll do it joint, Bob.
I mean, I've been to Downing Street. I've got the selfie with Larry. He knows me.
Yeah, fair point.
I can get Pixford's round here in the morning, get this Ed Bald in the back of the van, and I can be there by 2 p.m. moving.
Obsessed.
I'll pack the Louis and I'm there.
Right, well, we've got our final interview, which you did a few weeks ago with Maver and James from Made in Chelsea. So let's play that.
Let's do it. Hello, guys. You're right.
Hello, Bobby.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi.
Really good, thank you. How are you?
All good. Good, the beard. You? Look at the beard.
Coming on strong.
It is. I'm getting there. Give it a few more years.
How you both been?
Yeah, really good.
Good, thank you.
Really good. A harmonious lifestyle at the minute. We've got a 7-month pregnant woman to my left.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You excited or you nervous?
I'm both.
Yeah. Definitely both.
It's a little boy you're having, isn't it?
Yes, it's a little boy.
How exciting. Have you been thinking names?
We've got the name. We do have the name.
Got it.
But it's quite a big deal, isn't it? I mean, I've not got kids, but when you talk about it, you think, gosh, actually, it's quite a responsibility.
It is. It is.
I mean, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah, you just brought up a lot of shock just then.
Yeah.
Did you both kind of agree on it quite quick?
What, the responsibilities? Or
no, the name.
The name.
The name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an English name, so she had to kind of warm me up a bit, but I'm definitely on board now.
I love it. So, guys, tell me about this campaign, because I've never heard of it, but I love the idea of it. A clean-up prenup.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has heard about it, because it's the first of its kind. So we've signed the first one in the UK. You're right.
Sorry, I keep losing the headphones.
It's the first one of its kind in the UK, and we signed it the first time as well with Judge Rinder. He officiated the signing. He's a good guy to have around. Scary, I might add.
He's a little bit intimidating, isn't he? He's got an aura.
Yes, exactly. He's definitely got an aura. But we signed it mainly because Maver wanted me to sign it, and I needed to butt my ideas up at home.
Is Maver the clean one out of the two of you?
Yes, exactly. So it started like that. It's me cleaning, doing everything, and James doing nothing. And one day, I was just really happy about this clean-up, prenup. And yeah, we signed it, and everything is much better. Much better now.
95% there. Yes. She still reminds me when I'm being a bit lazy, saying, look, you signed this. You have to be accountable. So that's exactly what I'm trying to be.
So what's exactly in the prenup? What's the rules? What have you got to do, James?
So there's no specified rules or, let's say, responsibilities for either of us to have. It's purely like a 50-50 share the responsibility of household chores as a generic term. And that could literally be me helping maybe with the floor, the bins, the everything. And then I'll go make the bed, and then maybe we'll make the bed again because I didn't make it well enough.
Yeah, it's just understanding each other that we have to share everything when it's a day when we're cleaning, and I can't do it everything on my own. And it's just, it's just easy like that. And you just need to sign a paper and agreed, and it works really well.
It has done.
Simple as that.
Because that's one of the last things you find out about a partner. Until you actually live with someone, everything can be so great when you're dating. But people's ways, your partner, until you're truly living together, there's always that one that's a little bit more tidy.
Exactly. Bobby, this is where I've said before, like, I was pretending when Maeve used to come over, I used to clean the house before. She thought I was at this certain standard. So then I got her in my grasp and then started living with her, and then it all just started slipping. So this prenup came in at a perfect time, really, for Maeve's sake.
And the thing is as well, like you say, even just trying, but I'm pretty sure even like making the beds, you'll do it, but she's going to redo it again after anyway, because she knows how she likes it done. I'm the same, babes. I get you.
I try. It's not lack of effort. It isn't at all. I do try.
Yeah.
So, Maeve, tell me about the show. How's it going? You have been on Celebrity Cooking School.
Yes, indeed. So that was a really great experience. You'll discover if you watch it, obviously, you'll discover what happened next. But that was a really good experience. Yes, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed cooking, but I prefer cleaning.
Yeah. Are you much of a cook or not really?
I'm not bad, but I'm not great.
So did you kind of do the show to learn? Because sometimes I think when shows like that come about, you either think, I'm really good at this and I'm going to excel, or you think, do you know what, I'm going to give it my best and hope to take away a couple of skills.
No, there's just few recipes that I know I can do, but otherwise I know I'm not really good at cooking. I just really wanted to learn. And I did quite well there, to be honest, and that really helped.
She definitely came back with a few skills. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the simple stuff, you crack out. It's fantastic for me.
So are you the cook, would you say, James?
I'd love to turn around and say yes, Bobby, but no, like I think we're as bad as each other, but Maeve is definitely better at cleaning up. But I remember through my university years when I was first let out to cook and fend for myself, like I used to, like a big uni hall, 10 of us living in one hall, and like no one would clean up and I would be the one cleaning up at the end. So like while we're talking about this clean up prenup, like it can be applied to not just relationships. It can be anyone that's cohabitating.
Yeah.
It really does like go across the board, because then it, as I said earlier, like it makes you accountable.
Yeah. And you get also this chance of bonding again and work like as a team. Yeah. And it's good for your self-esteem as well, I think.
Mm.
And it's good for a lot of things to share that. Otherwise, it really creates way too many arguments.
And I think cleaning is quite therapeutic. I really like it. Like if I'm feeling a little bit anxious, if I get my windoline out or my bleach, I'll just lose myself and have a good clean. And like I say, that's such a good idea. It's not even just like a relationship, even a friendship, like, or whoever you're living with, like,
yeah.
You've got to share the responsibility.
You're right there, exactly. Bobby. Like Maeve used to use like by the bucket load. She never really understood how strong it was. And our poor dog used to walk around intoxicated by the stuff.
And which is why I really admire Method, the products from Method Cleaning, because honestly, it's now I use that all the time. And even with the baby coming and everything, it's just I can't use the, first of all, I'm not allowed to use the bleach anymore. And also it's not good and it's not toxic. It's great. And no, it's yeah, it's
they're really actually good. Yeah, they're really good products.
They're really good.
So talk to me about wedding plans. How are you getting on?
How is our wedding planner getting on? She's getting berated, Bobby, with texts and a lot of emotion behind our texts, especially from this one. But we're getting there. We've secured the venue. It's going to be quite some time yet because the baby's got to be born and we want him at the end of the aisle with me waiting.
Oh.
Yeah, so we're not organizing anything right now. Yeah. So we're just focusing on the baby and we'll see.
We are aiming for a Christmas 2023 wedding, yeah. December.
Oh, I think a Christmas wedding is so romantic.
It's different as well, isn't it? Like loads of people do the summers, like your whole summer calendar is blocked out by weddings and binge drinking. Like this one, be a winter soiree, enjoyable, 100-ish guests and just really enjoy it.
So you know the venue, you're quite set on that. How did you decide? Is it somewhere really special to both of you?
It was more the aesthetic, wasn't it? We had to decide, it had to be a certain distance outside the M25 for guests. Like Maeve's got quite a small family and I've got quite a big one, but it will be based in England. And I suppose the only little thing that we can let on is that it's 40-minute drive from outside the M25, let's say.
Yeah.
And will you allow the cameras to film it? Will like Made in Chelsea be there, or are you going to keep it a little bit more private?
We don't know yet about it. We'll see.
Yeah, we need to work that one out. Yeah. I think a few family members are a bit camera shy.
That's the thing as well, because you sign up to do it, but actually a lot of friends and family don't really want to get involved. I used to find that as well.
Exactly, yeah. But if they're getting a free meal, then they've got to pay somehow, haven't they? There's nothing. Exactly. There's a free lunch,
and I'm sure the camera crew are going to want to be there if they can.
Exactly.
You kind of want it to be that it runs as smoothly as possible, and if they catch it, they catch it. But you don't want your day to be stressed with filming, do you?
Don't want to be reshooting the magic moment.
Yeah. Like, can you just do that again? Let's get a pickup.
Leave. Yeah, that would be great.
Do you find a pressure filming, like, as a couple? Because let's have it right, reality TV, they love an argument, they love a scandal, they love a fallout. Now you're in such a good place, obviously engaged, pregnant. Is there a pressure on it, or do you kind of think you feel like they're going to go a bit easy on you?
There was at a certain point in time, but now, current day, Yeah, I think I think they know how happy we are, and they don't really. I don't think our colleagues want to mess with that too much as well, because it's a reality show at the end of the day, so people's opinions do come up, and you've got to face them head on.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a difficult one, because our relationship was formed on the show, and it was sped up by the show, I believe. But that has huge positives as well as negatives.
Yeah, we get into people's drama though, but
Maeva gets her foot into every piece of drama, and I'm just sitting here trying to live a normal life.
So there's no plans for either of you to leave yet. You'll stay there.
I'm kind of my foot half in, half out. I've got a job. Well, I'm not saying that isn't a job, but I've got a family business that I need to concentrate on. But Maeva just seems to smash all of these other shows as well as Chelsea. I think she's going to be carrying on in that world.
Well, fingers crossed. We'll see.
Are there any other shows on the to-do list, Maeva?
Sorry?
Are there any other shows you'd like to do that you haven't done yet?
There are many shows that I want to see her on. Like,
there are many. SAS?
SAS would be so funny.
Would you do that? That's hardcore, isn't it?
Yes, I would love to one day. That would be amazing. I would love to do Strictly.
Oh, my God. Maeva's hidden talent. She can dance.
Anyway.
I reckon you'd be amazing at Strictly.
That would be amazing.
But Bobby, I've got to wait until I put a ring on it, because I know what the Strictly show is.
Would you be worried about the Strictly curse?
100%. You don't know the Strictly curse? No? You always head off with the dancer and have a relationship.
And how about you, James? Like you say, you've got a family business. Are you kind of consciously going to step back from TV a little bit, or would you like to do something else?
Well, I always like to try and load my plate up with as much as possible. I'm not very good at sitting still. So at the minute, it's working, burning the candle at both ends. But I think when the baby arrives, decisions will have to be made pretty abruptly.
And when's the little one due?
Mid-November.
Gosh, not long now.
No, responsibilities are coming at me like a train. It's intense.
Is the nursery all done? Are you good to go?
Oh, we're also moving house on the 29th of September.
So. You ain't messing about, are you? Blimey.
All of it. I'm living in like a Tetris fortress here. Maeva's packed up everything. I don't know where the toothpaste is. I don't know where the cleaning products are. Like, it's hard. Actually, do you know what? The one thing, it's been easier to clean because there's less floor space to mop up.
This is a good point. That's a good point. Oh, guys, thank you so much. Congratulations again. And I can't wait to see the little one. I'm excited.
Thanks,
Bobby.
Thank
you so much.
You're so welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's great to hear from the guys from Made in Chelsea. Was it as good as it seemed?
Joe, it was so nice to catch up with him again. First time I've spoke to her, but obviously we interviewed him a few months back. Mm-hmm. And so blissfully, like, looking forward to their baby. They're so cute. They're like almost couple goals. And I'd never heard of this whole clean-up, prenup thing, but I think they're onto something.
Into it. Well, I mean, yeah. Great stuff. Well, I've got this is actually a very exciting week for me, Bob, because I know I said a few weeks ago that I'm going away by myself this weekend.
You're off to Benidorm, isn't you?
I'm going to Benidorm. I'm off there on Friday. I'll be back in time to record the show next week. Lucky listeners. I'm really looking forward to that. What you got coming up this weekend?
So what was your friend? Because your friend was going, wasn't he? And he was going to give you some like to-do list. What has he told you to do?
He's given me a list of bars, which I actually need to do a bit more of investigation on. And then he's also given me a list of the bars I need to avoid. So I think that's probably going to be the more important one. Because I think I'm in the nice bit of Benidorm, which I didn't know existed. We'll see when I get there.
You'll have a lovely time. I'm looking forward to hearing about your experience, because I've heard of so many people like solo traveling, and they go, it's one of the best things they've ever done, and they just want to keep doing it now. So I think, good on you, babe. I'm excited. Hope you have a lovely, lovely time.
Thanks, babes.
Are you going to rent one of the scooters and do a match?
I might do. I'm gonna see how I feel when I get there and what the weather's like.
Do it for the gram.
Yeah, yeah. beep, beep. Have you got anything exciting coming up this weekend, Bob?
What have I got? So, the last ever, there's a big event. It's called Jog On To Cancer. It's gone on for years, and I've always loved going. And it's the last one this year. So I've got that this week, which is going to be really nice. Okay. And then catching up with Nanny Norris. So this is just like, yeah, just one of them weeks. But as I say, not complaining. Love to be busy.
Of course.
But I ain't in Benidorm, so I'm living vicariously through you.
It'll all be on the grab, so you can see.
I'll be following.
all right. Well, until next week, everyone. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye, guys.